Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Fatia. I'm 10 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things.
And that's what we'll do today. We're often joined by our friend Jada, but Jada does not appear to be joining us today. We'll see. But in the meantime, Fatia and I are going to chat about some books that we've been writing, that we've been reading, and have a good time. So I'm going to let Fatia start us off today. I think Fatia has a book that she's been working on to share today. Can you tell us a little bit about the book that you created?
It's called Sally's First Day at Her New School. Once upon a time, there lived a girl named Sally. She lived with her siblings, her older brother, and her twin sister. One day, her brother Caleb got a job, so they all had to move. It was so close to the end of the year. Sally and her twin, Mally, was also sad. It was new for all of them since they haven't moved in 10 years. Then the twins weren't even born. Sally was heartbroken, but not as much as Mally. Caleb was excited like crazy because he had bullies that would always pick on him. Once he even almost drowned in the pool because he was pushed extremely hard. They only had 2 days to pack. It was a rush. Finally, Sally and Mally got over with it and became excited. Then they moved. They had one day until Caleb's new job began, so in the meantime, they spent time with each other ever since. Caleb won't be back for 2 years, but they will still be able to visit. The drive was 3 hours. Caleb's work started at 7 a.m. through 3 p.m., which meant he would have to wake up at 3 a.m. Sally and Mally were homeschooled since their mom didn't let Caleb drive, since it was too risky. The mom drove, Caleb and the dads were home, and the twins were home to watch the kids. Years passed, and they all lived happily ever after, the end.
Thanks for sharing your story. That was very nice. What inspired you to write this particular story?
It just came to mind because, like, I was thinking of what books to write since I read this one book, but I forgot what it's called, and I can't find it in my house anymore.
Have you ever been through a move?
No.
No.
Once when, like, I was, like, maybe, like, one or two. I don't even remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're imagining what it would be like for different family members to experience a move.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense that there'd be a mix of excitement and nervousness around that, or relief in the case of the brother, who's hopefully getting an escape from his bullies. It's sad to hear that experience. I did not move much as a kid. I moved when I was one, and then I lived in the same house until I graduated high school and went to college. So I also didn't know what it was like to move. And I remember when I was a little kid learning about the concept of people moving and decided that it would be fun to play moving. And so I took, like, everything in my room and moved it into a pile by the door. And my dad tried to open the door and couldn't because there was so much stuff in front of it. And he asked me what I was doing, and I explained that I was playing moving. And he was like, "You might want to put your stuff back before mom sees this, because she might not be too happy that all of your stuff is in a pile at the door." So that was my earliest imagining of moving. It was probably not the most organized move, just a pile of toys and clothes and stuff. But yeah, moving is the big part of a lot of kids' lives. And, like, having to get used to a new school and a new neighborhood, a new house, dad's new job in that case. Yeah. Are you thinking of writing any more about this family, or is this a complete, this is the end?
I might, maybe. But
it'd be interesting to see how they settle into their new home. But thanks for sharing your story. I always love hearing what you've been writing. I have not been writing any books because I'm not much of a writer. I wrote books when I was younger, but I don't write as an adult. But I have read a bunch of really great books recently, and I thought I could share at least one of them, maybe two. So the first one that I'll share is a young adult novel called Kill Her Twice by Stacy Lee. And I picked this one up because it was a fairly recent release. It came out in April, and I've read some other books by Stacy Lee. I haven't read all of her books yet, but I've loved everyone that I've read so far. Luck of the Titanic was one of my favorites by her. But yeah, so this one's called Kill Her Twice, and it's set during the golden age of Hollywood in LA's Chinatown. And it centers on a family with sisters. So there's Gemma, the oldest is May Chow, who's 19. Then Gemma is 18. And then 12-year-old Peony, and their mother and father, and their mother is expecting a fourth child. But their father has left home to undergo treatment for tuberculosis. And so the older sisters are taking over his flower selling business to support the family while he's getting the care he needs and while Ma is getting ready for the new child to come along. And during this time period, the economy is still in rough shape. Money is really tight. And so the flower selling business is not really making ends meet. And then at the same time as all of this is going on, there's a proposed train station in Chinatown that would really mess with the community. And so that's all going on. And then one day, the two sisters, May and Gemma, are walking through an abandoned lot in Chinatown, and they come across the body of an old friend of theirs who has become a rising film star. Her name is Lulu Wong, and she is found dead by the girls. And they contact the police, and the police begin an investigation, but they're not convinced that the police will do their job due to corruption and prejudice. Oh, I didn't mention that the family is Chinese American. It's the Chow family. So Gemma, the second oldest sister, decides to conduct her own investigation with the help of their little sister. And then May also begins helping. They were childhood friends with Lulu. They care about her and her memory and, you know, want to see justice done. And it's told from both perspectives, from Gemma's perspective and May's perspective, from the two older sisters. And there's times when they are doing the investigation together and times when they're separate. So Gemma, for instance, ends up doing some investigation around medical records and interacting with a doctor who she meets in an event. And May is kind of more on the film set side and actually ends up getting cast in a film. So there's a lot of different things going on in the story. It's a really good mystery and detective story, the historical fiction, and it's also about these sisters and their family and their community. So really highly suggest this book. It's suggested for grade or ages 13 to 18. I think adults would love it as well. So definitely suggest people check that out, especially if they're into historical fiction. But don't assume you're not into historical fiction if you think you're not, because I at a time thought I was not that into historical fiction, but it's really won me over in recent years. You just have to find the right book and you'll get sucked in. So that is one of the great books I've read recently. And another one that I just finished today is a middle grade graphic novel called Buzzing by Samuel Satin, which is illustrated by Rye Hickman. And it's a really great story about a young person named Isaac Itkin, who is 12 years old and has recently been diagnosed with obsessive compulsive disorder. And this has a great impact on his life, living with obsessive compulsive disorder. And in the book, the intrusive thoughts that he has are shown through these like little bees buzzing around him. And his mother is trying to get used to this new diagnosis as well, and isn't really sure the best thing to do, and has sort of strict ideas of what is best for Isaac. But as Isaac begins to make friends with a new group of people who are very creative and are really into a game called Swords and Sorcery, I think, but it's like a tabletop role-playing game, creative game that they play after school. He gets really into this and makes some new friends, and you can tell through the graphic novel, through the book, that being involved with this group of friends and being engaged in this game, and he's also an artist who draws pictures of all the characters in the game, and it's very clear that like these engagements are really helpful for him with his OCD. You see less of the buzzing around of the bees during scenes where he's engaged in those. But unlike us as readers who are able to see this very clearly because it's visualized through the buzzes, the mother can't see his thoughts. And so it's harder for her to understand exactly the benefit he's getting from these interactions in these games. And she wants the best for him, and she wants to make sure she's helping him in the best way that she can, but she's struggling as well. So, but it's a really sweet book. I think the character is really endearing, and you want the best for him, and his friends are really cool. And there's a relationship with his sister that changes over time. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think this one was nominated for an Eisner. I can't remember for sure, but I'm pretty sure. I don't know if those have been announced yet. Let me check. Yeah, so it was. It was nominated for Best Publication for Kids. I guess the winners haven't been announced yet. I've actually read a couple of these. So the other Eisner Award nominees for Best Publication for Kids were Mabuhay by Zachary Sterling, which I've not read, but we do have at the library, so I'll have to read that soon. Mexikid, a graphic memoir by Pedro Martin, which I have read and is excellent. Missing You by Philip William and Melissa Garibelli, which I have not read or heard of, so I'll definitely find that one. And Saving Sunshine by Sadia Faruqi and Shazlin Khan, which I talked about on a recent show. All very good books, and well, the ones that I've read are all very good. But yeah, I definitely suggest Buzzing. I really enjoyed it. I think it did a good job of portraying his OCD experience in a way that it will be accessible to young people that don't have experience with that condition. And yeah, two great books I read this week. I read other ones too, but those are the two I'm sharing. I have to figure out what to read next. Maybe I'll get Mabuse out if it's still there. It was on display the other day, but those books often go away quickly. Do you have anything on your reading list this summer, Fatia? Any top pick?
I don't think so right now.
Not yet. You'll have to find some. Maybe we can do a library date sometime and I can help you pick out some books.
Sure.
That'd be fun. And I offer that up to our listeners too. If anyone needs help picking out their next book, whether they're a kid or an adult, happy to do so. Stop on by the library. The other staff, I'm sure, would too. We love getting books to people. So come on by anytime. Hudson Area Library, 51 North Fifth Street, Hudson, New York. You can find our hours and other information at hudsonarealibrary.org. And definitely check out all of our summer reading program events. You can find those on our website. We have a lot of fun stuff lined up for this year, and we hope to see a lot of people here. So check out hudsonarealibrary.org for more info. On that note, we're going to say goodbye for the day, but we hope everyone out there listening has a great week filled with lots of quality reading time, and we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Until then.
Happy reading.
Il y a longtemps, très longtemps, depuis le temps où les grandes batailles se faisaient à lac et au sable, vivaient deux mines en foudre de guerre, de vaillants combattants aux bras d'acier, de véritables conducteurs de troupes, dans les noms comme un écho sans fin, résonne dans la mémoire du temps. Fakoli Kumba, Fakoli Daba est de ceux-là même que les griots chantent sur les places publiques. Il s'agit bien de Djam Djankoli, l'aigle au bec d'or et au bac d'argent, noble fils de Tamba Fotigi Doumbia, poutre centrale de Karatabou et de la belle Kakumba Kante, sœur aînée de Soso Soumaoro Kante. Puis le maniement des âmes au bon soin de son oncle maternel, le roi sorcier, la terreur de la région, de victoire en victoire, de prouesse en prouesse, ne laissant aucune chance à l'ennemi. Fakoli se distingua sur tous les fronts.
Fakoli kumbani fakoli daba koli bana dani koli bana ma wale bula kamu landi neva ga bula ma fenandi neko bula yesa lani ga bula tenchana bana horonga tigi kawili fa ya yido tigi kawili.
Un jour, à cause des exactions de son oncle sanguinaire et barbare, il se révolta et prit son destin en main. Il mit alors son bras au service de la justice pour combattre la folie, l'orgueil et la vanité. Il rejoignit l'armée de Sundiata Keïta pour reconquérir la terre des ancêtres et libérer ses populations laborieuses. Du haut des collines de Koulikoro, à l'heure où le jour efface la nuit, Fakoli Kumba, Fakoli Daba, honore ses arrières petits-fils, la lignée Boula Mansa Solourou, brillante de succès. Et couverte de gloire.
Fakoli mode bemi bwakari dumbi
awini de. Brillante de succès.
Fakoli mode bemi bulala kanu kawini de.
Couverte de gloire.
Fakoli mode bemi bulala kanu kawini de.